Other horns don't.
Everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the someplace they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Dominate who you're playing against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Hear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Tom, we're back and we're talking preseason. This time special teams are on the docket. You ready?
Man, I am always ready to talk about special teams. Are you kidding?
Well, kick us off, man. No pun intended.
Well, we are very blessed. First and foremost, we have to start with Cody Mandel. We are so blessed to see the maturing of this player over the past two seasons. And his yards per average started in the high 30s and then got into the 42, 43. And now he's in the mid 40 range. And it, as typical Saban teams go, okay, field position is key. I mean, it's key with any football team. But when you've got a great defense and you can pin that ball inside the 20, it makes all the difference in the world. And he's increased his hang time with every season, and his ability to place the ball and just kill it inside the 20 is a huge part of what this team has been able to accomplish. And so I'm just so glad that we've got him for another year.
Yeah, I am too. And there were points, you know, in the past where maybe we were a little frustrated with Cody. I am actually, if he can come in and do what he did last year, he averaged right at 45 yards per punt. If he can do that again this year, I'm happy. I will take that. He doesn't have to be a Brad Wing type talent. And we've, you know, kind of gone on about him, former LSU punter. We just need Cody to be last year's Cody. And, you know, like you said, field position ball. We have a stout defense. If we put the opponent back and force a long drive, I like our odds with our defense. So if he repeats, I'm very happy.
Oh, yeah. And then we need to touch on Adam Griffith for a second. I mean, yes, he was a heralded guy coming out of high school. And so here we are giving a scholarship to a guy who's a punter. And what a nice situation, right? He's been under Cody for a year. He's been redshirted for a year. I'd love him to come in and, you know, get a handful of punts this year in game situations that can just only help us next year.
Yeah, Adam Griffith is going to be what they call a segue, right? Because he both punts and kicks, and I think he's going to have an opportunity in a secondary role to be able to do both of those. I would really like to see him punt some this season. I'd like Cody to do what he did, but I would like Adam to come in and get some reps punting just to see what he's got in him, just to see what kind of leg he's got.
I would too. And my biggest concern for this special teams situation, you know, is the long snapper. I mean, you and I both know how important the snapper is. And if you do a really good job, you can play on Sundays in the NFL because not a lot of guys can do it really, really well. That's got to be the biggest concern, right? Is you've got seniors at kicker and seniors at punter, and you got a freshman as long snapper.
Yeah, losing Carson Tinker, you know, replacing Carson Tinker. And like you said, he has a shot. You know, he's getting auditions in the NFL. So, you know, bully for him. But we're bringing in this Cole Mazza. And what's interesting is, you know, long snapper, as important of a position as it is, you typically will see walk-ons feel that position until they've been around a little bit. And maybe if the numbers work out one spring or one fall, then they may get, you know, a scholarship for that season. But we've brought Cole Mazza on, recruited him, and brought him in with a scholarship. I couldn't quote the numbers or the stats, but, you know, they look for a specific time from snap to the holder. And he seems to be one of the best in the nation. And so I think we recruited him and gave him a scholarship for that. Frankly, if watching the games this year, I can't tell a difference between him and Carson Tinker, I'm happy.
Oh, sure. But I think the fact that he was given a scholarship is something worth just touching on for a quick second, right? Because you and I have followed football for a long time. And have we ever known Alabama to give a scholarship for a long snapper? I don't recall.
Not in a recruited true freshman coming in situation. I think Carson had earned a scholarship his last season, maybe his last two. But, you know, we're talking about a guy that was a walk-on, put on his time, was a multi-game, multi-year starter before he was maybe given a scholarship his last season. So I look at those as two different things. A walk-on who 3 years later, you know, gets a scholarship for a season versus a recruited true freshman, come to us and we'll give you a scholarship day one. Have your national signing day and all of that, be part of the recruiting class. You don't see that with long snappers anywhere, and certainly we've not seen that at Alabama.
But for once again, for Coach Saban, right, to go out and get the guy who's one of the best at doing it in the high school game, from what we heard coming in, you know, just what another smart call by Coach Saban, because he knows that Carson Tinker's gone. He knows what's on his current squad. He knows, you know, I'm sure other guys have given it a try. And so how nice it is for him to have such depth at all these different positions, because he's kind of filled the cupboard, that he can go out there and selectively just grab this guy who probably didn't get offered many scholarships at many similar schools. And how nice of him to be able to say, hey, this is an important position, and I'm going to go out there and use a scholarship because I'm Alabama and I've won two championships in a row, and I can just go do that.
Yeah, and yeah, that's he's got a, you know, a mighty nice ace up his sleeve. It could very well be, and this is just, you know, we've talked about management, roster management. You know, it could be a situation where you've got, you know, he's got six Carson Tinkers kind of waiting in the wings that you don't know who they are, because you're not going to know who they are, but he sees them every day in practice. And so he just, you know, kind of next guy up. If there is no next guy up, you know, he has that ace up his sleeve that says, okay, who's the best guy in the country? Then we'll just go get him.
Yeah, and you know, how many big schools like Alabama, right, are recruiting you? And I think the guy, when I was looking up the stats to prepare for the call, I think he's like 5'6", 240 pounds. He played center in high school besides being a long snapper. But let's just say, right, he wasn't going to play offensive line in college. And so you get offered a scholarship from a big program. And oh, by the way, it's a program that's won the last two national championships. Imagine what this kid was thinking.
Yeah, it's we could have been another program. And I don't want to say a program and disparage someone, but you know, we could have been a much lesser program, such that offering a scholarship wouldn't be that appealing relative to, you know, a walk-on, an invited walk-on situation. But here we are sort of in the throes of an incredible run, you know, kind of a dynasty situation for college football. And because we don't have maybe someone on the roster that we feel comfortable with, we truly can go get the best guy in the country, give him a scholarship. You know, it's almost an offer he can't refuse.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, talk about that kicker for a second, man. He definitely has worked on his mechanics, and his mechanics, as we have kept an eye on him, has continued to improve. Is he ready to take the reins and do the whole thing?
Well, you know, I agree with you on one point there, and in the answer to your question, I think on the other is no. You know, Cade Foster, you know, his form, and we broke down kind of A-Day a couple years ago, it looked like he was falling out of a folding chair, his form and the way he was kicking the ball, and it was just atrocious. And we brought in some, you know, consultants and special kind of special teams coaches, kicking coaches to help him out, and he has improved. I do think, though, that he split time with Jeremy Shelley last year. Jeremy Shelley got the best end of that deal, right, because he got to leave, you know, with a perfect, however, you know, 16-0, I think, in his kicks last year, didn't miss any, but then never had to kick anything over, you know, 32 yards. So sure, he got the easy one. You know, Cade has a leg, and so put him out there on the long kicks where maybe there's low expectations and just say, go boot the heck out of it in that direction. He did okay, but can he line up, you know, for a 30-yard pressure kick? I don't know. And so that's where I think that we probably do split duty again. I think it's Adam Griffith will get a shot here, and I think it's Cade Foster gets the shot on the long kick. And the biggest question then becomes, well, what's the line of demarcation? Is it 28 yards? Is it 30 yards? Is it 35 yards? I don't know. And I think Adam has the opportunity to have the biggest say on that, more so than Cade.
Oh, just because of the leg strength that we've heard, yeah, that he brings to the table. But
well, leg strength / accuracy. If Adam can prove that, you know, hey, he can be pretty consistent and accurate at the 30, at the 35-yard kick, the 38-yard kick, then Cade, I think, whose accuracy is suspect, even then on the longer kicks, I think Adam would be given the nod if his leg is there. So I think his leg and his accuracy will do more to influence who gets the kicking opportunities sort of in those mid-range kicks than Cade's performance.
Well, Adam does come in with a lot of pub. I mean, he comes in as the second-rated kicker in the country when he committed. He definitely is supposed to have a leg. It would be nice and smart of Coach Saban, with Foster being the senior, it would be nice to just let him come in and slide in where Shelley was, do some of the low-pressure situations, do some of the short kicks, you know, do some of the kicks that are 30-yarders when the team's already up 21-3 or something, and hopefully Foster can show that senior leadership and he can shoulder the load of the longer kicks. And hopefully as a senior, he can maybe do some of the more high pressure situations. That's what you would expect him to be able to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think from, you know, kind of the sidelines, you know, the stands for most fans, I don't know if I'm sure there's some fans that didn't notice the rotation last year, but I'm sure even for those who were watching that, I think it'll look very similar with two to, you know, a short kicker, a long kicker. It'll be interesting to see where that line of demarcation is. It'll also be interesting who wins the kickoff duty. Cade Foster clearly was the kickoff guy last year. You know, there was always kind of sarcastic cheer when he got one into the end zone. Adam Griffith, I think, kicked three kickoffs last year. He got one or maybe two out of the three into the end zone. So that's probably, you know, not enough of a sampling. So I think it'll be interesting to see which of them wins the kickoff duty. Clearly, I think whoever can consistently put it in the end zone, that's the guy that it'll be. I just don't know that. I know that I don't know who it is. I'm sure, you know, the coaching staff, they see it in practice every day. They have a stronger sense than we do. If I had to bet, I guess I'd go Cade just because he did it last year. But I would see that there would be an opportunity for Adam to come in and steal that.
Sure. What about kickoff returns and punt returns? I mean, we're very fortunate to have somebody with the consistency of Christian Jones, who it just kind of seems like yesterday he stepped in at the national championship game and came on the scene. Do you see him being the primary guy in those two roles?
Yeah, I really am. And I don't think that you can understate, you know, Christian Jones, not only coming in the national championship game, not only, you know, as a true freshman, but, you know, Marquise Mays was the punt returner in that game, and he was the starter at that position, and he goes down. And so Christian Jones, you know, kind of in the middle of a quarter, cold, you know, coming in cold, if you will, you know, fields a punt, you know, starts fielding punts in that forum, in that venue, you know, game clearly still on the line in terms of the scoreboard. And so I give him a lot of kudos, you know, stepping into that pressure field situation. I look at the kick returner, you know, Saban looks for consistency over flash. If I've got a guy that's going to return it for touchdowns 5 out of 10 times, but then fumble it, you know, 3 out of those other 5 times, he's probably the one on the bench. But if I can get a guy that, you know, consistently can field the ball and get it out to the 40, I think Saban would rather have that than the explosive upside. Protect my football.
No, that's fair. And so to that point, do you think we see, you know, do you think we see Cyrus back there with him? Because Cyrus ended up having 10, you know, Cyrus fielded 10 of those kickoffs, whereas Christian fielded 8 of those kickoffs last year. You know, Cyrus, when you look back at the numbers, he really didn't get brought into that kickoff return area and punt return until the Missouri game. And so we were six games into the season before he really got brought in when D Hart went down. So do you see D Hart back there to start or Cyrus Jones?
Well, I think we'll see, you know, and you start mixing kickoffs and punt returns. I think we'll see all three of those guys, you know, Christian Jones, some D Hart, and some Cyrus Jones. You know, I think when D Hart got hurt, and then we started to get banged up a little bit on receiver, I think that was the right time to move Cyrus Jones back there and give him some more reps. You know, we went to great lengths, and there's an article on our site, you know, about Cyrus Jones needs to learn his foot placement and his place on the field when he fills these kicks. you know, he's fielding them right on the goal line. They would go out, they would go, you know, for a touchback, would get the ball in the 20, and he's running out and getting tackled at the 15, at the 19-yard line. Almost had a player hurt last year, you know, for him to get the ball back to the 19, and so we lost a yard and almost had an injury. Those type of situations, he needs to be, he needs some field awareness. And if he can't demonstrate that, then I would rather not see him out there, even with his speed and potentially his upside. I'd rather have a guy out there, you know, call me Saban light, right? I'd rather have a guy out there that knows his place on the field, literally his position on the field, and then plays the ball accordingly.
Well, I have to, and you're referring to Cyrus, right?
Yes.
I have to say, from a clarification standpoint, that I think Christian Jones also needs to, I hope that during the offseason he's worked on the punt return game specifically, because he had 21 punts, you know, 21 punt returns on the year, but the majority of those came early in the season. He got easily, you know, it looks like here he got about 15 of those punt returns in the first five or six ball games. And so I think the coach, you know, lost a little confidence in him as the season progressed, or else he just was concerned about him being out there because of the injuries. But I think specifically on punt returns, that's an area that, you know, Christian frustrated us a little bit during the season as well.
That's fair. That's fair. I think that, and so maybe I'm over, you know, I'm overvaluing what he did against LSU in that game. I think D Hart, you mentioned him. We mentioned him when we talked about running backs. I think that he's going to carve out a nice role. I would see him more as a punt returner than a kickoff returner, but I see him earning a role, earning an opportunity. I think he's a smart guy. He's certainly talented. You know, you referenced that he was a five-star recruit. So if he's healthy, then I think he has an opportunity to contribute as a returner. And I think there's the opportunity, and we say this every year, you know, for as long as we've been tracking, that, you know, these freshmen are, you know, someone's going to come in and be a good, you know, freshman returner. And I don't know that we've had one since, you know, since David Ballmer. So I don't know that we're going to have that, but we do have, you know, some freshman receivers. Our Darius Stewart is said to be really talented. These running backs, we've brought in so many of them. You know, Tyron Jones would be kind of the one that I might look at there. And then four of the cornerbacks, and, you know, I couldn't predict which of them necessarily. But my point is, I think we have a lot of young skill type players that could be rotated through practice to see who has some potential upside. But I think whoever that is, they would kind of fall in line with Christian, D Hart, and Cyrus Jones.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to make a call that I think it's going to be D Hart.
Yep.
I think D Hart's going to win the punt return, and that's where you're going to see him predominantly.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. I think that, you know, kind of looking, this is how I would kind of sum up and characterize our special teams. I just don't want to see any regression from last year. I don't think we were spectacular at special teams. We didn't have a, you know, a killer return guy. We didn't have a hobby, you know, type skill return guy. We didn't have the best punter. We didn't have the best kicker, but we were consistent.
Yes.
If we can replicate that consistency, and we were consistent, you know, in a barely average sort of way. Now, we weren't consistently bad. We weren't consistently great. We were consistent in maybe an above average kind of way. And if we can do that again, I think we're fine. I think the offense and the defense will carry the teams. You know, we're not going to be a team that's going to depend on special teams to win games. We're just going to need to depend on them not to put us in negative situations.
No, absolutely. Hey, let's. Anything else on special teams that you want to throw in there?
No, I think it's time to ask the million-dollar question.
And what would that be?
Can this team do it again?
You know, it's really scary to even think about this, because, you know, as a big fan like we are, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're just being a homer.
Yep.
But when you look at what we have discussed and what depth that we have, what senior leadership we have, when you have guys like AJ McCarron and CJ Mosley, who have got two rings apiece, seniors, could have gone pro, maybe they go the second round, but they come back. I think they came back to just say, we want to do something special. We want to try to go for three. and we want to pass the baton. And so I think when you have guys like that, they're showing a type of leadership that this team didn't have back in 2010 when they regressed and lost those three close ball games. And so as crazy as it sounds, I think the easy schedule that we're not going to face, you know, probably the toughest SEC East opponent until the SEC championship game, I don't think there's any doubt that this team's going to win it again. It sounds crazy to say that right now, but I think you and I are going to be at another national championship game having another drink.
No, and I don't disagree with that, and I appreciate the sort of the gravity that with which you treated the question, because that's the way I look at it too. If you and I are sitting around talking and you ask me, you know, can we win it this year? I'm going to tell you yes. But you and I have been following enough football and know the way with which we respect that question that I can just say yes to you, and you know that that has gone through some evaluation, and that it's right. Not a flippant response. I get to ask that question in the office. What do you think, you know, your Alabama team can win it again? And I feel like I have to qualify my answer, because my answer is yes, I do think that we can win it again. But that's not a foam finger, we're number one kind of response. It's a very considered response. Look at who, you know, you mentioned names. Look at who we have coming back. Look at, you know, where we have losses, but then what we need to do to replace those losses. We talked about the offensive line. Well, we don't have to have the best offensive line in football, in the history of college football this year. We just have to have an above average line. Can we be a top 20 offensive line this year? Yes, we can win a national title with the rest of the talent that we have on the team. Look at the way the schedule sets up. We only play Tennessee and Kentucky from the East. We don't play, you know, we don't play Georgia and Florida and LSU and Texas A&M 4 out of 5 weeks. You know, we don't have that sort of gauntlet in the schedule. We play A&M the third week of the season, but our second game, so we have a week
after
off.
A bye week, and
we play LSU. And who knows
what? Yeah, well, and going back to Texas A&M for a second, right? Who knows what team we're going to face right now, given what's out there in the works.
Look,
we have a bye week as well.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, and that's fair. But even just discount that for a minute. If that, you know, full strength, I like the fact that we have them, you know, coming off a bye. And then, you know, last year we played LSU and A&M back to back. And, you know, I have some pretty strong opinions about how that impacted that second game. But now we've got them kind of bookended in the season with a bye week before each of them. We don't play a power team from the East until we're back in the, you know, assuming, right? But, you know, back in the SEC championship game, which has become something of a home field for us.
Sure.
So I like how that sets up. And so all of that kind of factors in. I think we will. And then you think outside of the SEC, you know, the biggest concentration of teams that have a chance to win it are in the SEC. You know, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, LSU, A&M, Alabama. Who do you know? Okay, Ohio State, and you maybe want to say Oregon, and you know, maybe you want to say Oklahoma, and then I mean, you know, it starts to become a slippery slope. So, you know, the largest concentration is in the SEC. Our schedule, I think, helps us manage that. That puts us, you know, I'm connecting some dots here, but that puts us in the game. Who beats us? I don't see. Now it's you know, late August. You know, so December, you know, November, January is a long time away. But as it sits now, I couldn't tell you who I would pick ahead of us.
No, I agree. And a couple other things to point out on this schedule is we had several tough road games leading up to that home game against Texas A&M, which we knew was going to be a trap game. Now, LSU, okay, we're at home. And that's, to me, is a huge difference for this year's team, because I think that we will face an LSU team that is not as good as they were last year, and we get them at home. But then when I go to Georgia for a second, for anybody listening to this and say, oh, yeah, y'all should have lost the Georgia game. Well, I'm sorry. Actually, a couple plays, you know, throwing an interception in the end zone that Georgia, you know, AJ throwing an interception in the end zone and this blocked field goal that was a 10-point turnaround, that game shouldn't have been that close. And so for any non-Bama fans listening to this, that 32-28 final score, it should have been like 39-17. And yeah, so what was a close game really shouldn't have been a close game.
No, I agree with you. It really shouldn't have been. And if anyone's still going to call, you know, sour grapes on that, they're saying more about themselves than they are about our team.
So I just want to throw that out there that to me, and going to Texas A&M for a second, you know, Saban has shown since he's been in Alabama that he's got a huge revenge factor. And this Texas A&M game, with or without Manziel, it's not going to be close. In my opinion, it will be a 20-point victory because they have been running tapes of that game to the players all year long. And that's all they've seen in the locker room, and that's all they've seen in the weight room. And with or without him, that game is not going to be anywhere near as close as it was last year. So for several reasons, I think the first true test we get is in the SEC championship game. And even then, I think it's a double-digit victory. And so once again, it's just a good time to be a Bama fan. Enjoy this while you can, because this run will not last. But just soak it up and just have a drink and just love it.
Yeah, everyone talks about, you know, kind of bulletin board games and circling dates on calendars and stuff like that. And a lot of that is just so well overplayed. But when Saban puts his mind to a team, we do pretty well against those teams. And, yes, and the biggest example I'll point to is this. When we lost to Florida in 2008. And that was, you know, we had opportunities to win that game. The next year when we play them in Tuscaloosa and we intercept Tebow's jump pass, I just, you know, and I think you know what I mean. That just mean, you know, that just speaks to, that's a little gadgety thing that they did, but it spoke to how ready we were.
Oh,
when,
sure.
When they do this, they're going to do the jump pass. I can't remember. I think it was Nico or was it CJ that intercepted it?
It was Nico.
Nico. And so I think that Nico went into that game salivating. They're going to run this play. And there may have been a part of them like, yeah, guys, let them get down here to the goal line because I'm going to pick that joker off. But it speaks to, we're ready. And if we're going to pick off this little gadgety thing that they, you know, that just speaks to, we're ready, we're prepared, we have a game plan, we're going to go out and beat these guys. And I think that was kind of a slap in their face. And I just think that in a similar way, we will be ready for this A&M team. And this team, they don't need motivational tactics. If anything, they're going to go into this game mad. And so, full strength, I'm really not worried. I'm not worried so much about this team. And my bold statement, and you said we win that game by 20. I think that's certainly a bold statement. I think all season, all comers, no one's within 10 points of us. No game finishes inside of 10 points.
Oh, I can easily see that being the case.
So, you know, and maybe that's even conservative. I don't know. But, we play some tough teams and things can happen. And, you know, but I think and LSU's there. I don't want to discount LSU, but I think we beat everyone by at least 10. And Tommy, I think we win the national title. And like you said, I think we are back in Pasadena, you know, come January.
Well, hey, one other thing I want to mention real quick, because we might have some new listeners that hasn't, you know, had a chance to listen to many of our shows. So for those that are listening right now saying these guys don't know their, you know what, from a hole in the ground, I would ask that y'all go back and listen to the national championship preview shows when we were previewing Notre Dame, because you and I flat out called it that we were going to kill them, that it wasn't going to be close.
I think one of those. Yeah, no, I agree that. And I would say if you really want to kind of test our chops, I would say go back and listen to the pregame for the LSU Alabama game, because I think that game went down just as we called it. I remember sitting after the game in Pat O'Brien's enjoying the moment and feeling as close to how a coach must feel when they put in a game plan and it works, because I feel like we called that game.
Yes.
And so you could say hindsight, da 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 da. Go back and listen to the tape. If you know, if there's questions out there, sure, you know, go back and it's out there, it's on the site, it's available for, you know, download. So, you know, hopefully hopefully people aren't this far in, but
no. I just wanted to mention it real quick because I just think it's important to go listen to a couple of those shows and see, hey, man, these guys called it before it happened. That's all.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, and we, you know, and I think our long time, and it's fair, right? There's people out there that, you know, don't know who we are and maybe think we're nuts, and then the people who do listen to us probably know that we're nuts, but we have some pretty decent thoughts every now and again. So
absolutely.
So that's
absolutely
cool. Well, hey, let's wrap this one up. We're going to come back and we're going to do a pregame for the Virginia Tech. But as we wrap this up, we want to appreciate everyone for listening. I want to ask that you go to our website, alabamafootballpodcast.com, download you a copy of the Alabama Football Viewing Guide, 45 pages of rich content. You name the price. It's available there for immediate downloads. And if you download it with a purchase price here in the next couple of days, you have the opportunity to win two tickets to the VaTech game. So I think it's about as good of a deal as we can put out there. But this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.